Hello and welcome to episode 78 of the Desi Outsiders podcast. I'm Ankita.
And I'm Meenal.
And this week we're going to talk about major life changes like moving house and how to deal with them. In our humble opinion, we are not experts by any means. But this is especially because Meenal has just moved to Northampton.
No, Ankita, I think you've just like underplayed that. I've literally
just
like
moved
5 seconds ago. I came into the house, I sat down, and the first thing I looked for in my suitcase was my microphone.
Yeah, so we're recording this on the Wednesday before the Thursday when this episode is going to go live. So if you're listening on the day that this episode came out, then yesterday was when we were recording, and Meenal literally just walked into her new home. Unpacked her suitcase, took out her microphone, and here we are. We're recording this episode and we're going to talk about this major life change that she's going through and also the moving that we have done together throughout our lives.
I think it's important we speak about this, Ankita, because when I first moved, when I did my first major move, I think I was too young to understand the mechanics of it and the emotions of it. And it's only this time now, at the age of 25, I'm moving for different reasons, of course, but as a more well-aware adult and a more well-traveled adult, I think I'm looking at this from a totally different point of view, and I'd love to share it with our listeners because I'm sure a lot of our listeners in their early, late 20s, early 30s, or whatever age, have probably done that fair bit of traveling and moving. So I'd love it for us to share our experiences and see what everybody else has gone through, because my move isn't so big. It's like from Europe to Europe. People are moving from bigger countries, from India to US, from India to UK.
Did that.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Totally forgot about that.
I did India to UK.
This is all about me, Ankita. I just moved to Northampton. This is me.
No, but I feel like before we get into the episode, let's just do a quick tally of how many times we have each moved from one place to another. And this doesn't, it's not necessarily just about moving across a country. It can also be about moving house or also moving across countries. So do you want to go first?
Okay, so I moved house at the age of 12, and then I moved country.
No, you don't have to start there. Can we just start at a reasonable age, like 16 or 17?
No, but that's because I don't have much to say, so I might as well go as back into my history as much as possible, right? So
okay,
in 1993, I was born. I moved from the hospital to my first accommodation.
Yeah, must have been a very difficult transition.
It was such a difficult time in my life.
You moved from your mother's womb into the real world. Which
everybody's gone through that. Everybody's gone through that. So that's something we all have in common for sure. But back to serious notes, I just moved house at the age of 12, and then I moved out of my home at the age of 18 to go to Africa, traveled Africa, came back home at 19 and moved to Prague. Was in Prague for 6 years, came home for 3 months, and I've moved again to the UK. That's it.
So four times you've moved, basically.
Are we including my mommy's tummy?
No, no. That would be
Let's make that five.
Okay, fine. I'll give you five. So if we're starting with our childhood, then I just want to, like, disclaimer, my dad used to work in the Indian Air Force, which meant that every 3 years we were moving from one place to another. So from the time I can remember, my parents were just expert packers, and we had these big military size trunks. They were aluminium trunks, there were wooden trunks, and there were all kinds of things in which my parents would pack up literally our entire lives and move from one state to another. And this move, we were not very rich back then. We wouldn't move on a flight or anything. And India is as big as a continent. Literally, it's not a small country. So we would be moving from Delhi to Mumbai. So my parents' first move was from Assam to Mumbai. And I was too young to remember that. But I remember the Mumbai to Delhi move because my dad went first and I moved to Kerala with my mum because we didn't know if I'd be able to continue my education there. We didn't know. So we were moving at a weird time, which meant that I'm leaving my school in Mumbai, but I can't really join school in Delhi because it was still like in the middle of the academic year. So my dad moved first and my mum and I joined my grandmother in Kerala, and I went to school. I started first standard in Kerala because the timeline works quite differently education wise over there. And I think I stayed in Kerala for a few months while I was doing my first grade. And then from Kerala, we moved to Delhi to join my dad. And from Delhi, we moved back to Kerala when, you know, my dad got a transfer to Trivandrum. So yeah, I remember, and in Delhi, we moved house twice. So yeah, my parents are just experts when it comes to packing up their entire lives and moving wherever they have to go to. But in a more realistic sense, when it comes to my moves that I think back on and I look at emotionally, I think it happened at the age of 17 when I moved for the first time away from home to go to university. And my university degree was 3 years long. And in those 3 years, I moved. I was in a new hostel every year.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I was in a new place every year, so, which means I moved from, yeah, the first hostel to the second to the third. So that would count as like two moves, I guess. No, one, two, three moves. Sorry. And then I moved back to Trivandrum after my degree and post-graduation because I got a job in the city that my parents were living in. So I moved in with them and I lived there for 1 year while I was working.
Mm.
And then I made a major move from Trivandrum to the UK, where I packed up my entire life pretty much and, you know, moved to a new country.
Yeah.
And then after coming to the UK, I moved house once. So overall, if we're counting my mother's womb, like my journey from my mom's womb as well, that's 10.
Okay, you've actually counted. I actually lost count. I was just listening to your story.
No, I counted. I've been counting. So but, including that, it's 10, but otherwise it's 9.
But as usual, Ankita has made this into a competition. And Ankita has to win. So
Ankita won.
So I think that my most emotional move was at the age of 18 when I went to Africa. And I think that was the case because I was moving to a place that was totally unknown. My parents had never even heard of Mozambique, let alone even anybody living close by. So I mean, if I'd done my volunteering in a place like India or Nepal or something close by, I think my parents would have been a lot better with that because we have family, you know, that can just travel, catch a flight. But in Mozambique, I mean, who's gonna be there? And the reason that affected me the most because that was the first time me moving out, and that was the first time that I realized how attached my mom was to me.
Mm.
Like, as a daughter, I thought she was, I mean, before that, it was, she always did stuff for me and shit, but I just thought she was just being a mom. I didn't know, like, I didn't really understand her emotions because we never really spoke about it.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the first time I saw her get really emotional. It could have been, I don't know what it was. I don't know if the emotions were her being worried or her feeling that she's going to miss me. Or I don't know what it was, but either way, she was very emotional. That affected me as well. So that affected me more because I was going to an unknown place. If I was going to a known place, I don't think I would have really cared so much. But at that time, Ankita, she was worried for me, right? Now yep. I'm moving. I just moved from home. I was there for 3 months. And I think I mentioned this in a couple of podcasts ago where I said that first time I'd been at home for a long time and I was really enjoying bonding with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And now when I left, I'm worried about them. So the dynamics of the family have changed so much because before, my parents were worried about my safety, if I was going to eat properly, if I was going to be okay. And now I'm the one calling my parents all the time to make sure they're okay. And I think that's why I get emotional because mm-hmm. I'm worried for them. I'm like, who's going to... I mean, we live in Gibraltar. It's a tiny country. Nobody's around us. I mean, we just have a couple of neighbors who we can call here and there. But I mean, sometimes there are situations where you need a family member there. And I can fly there and it's quick, but it's not easy. So now I'm worried about them. So the dynamics have changed so much because I'm here. I'm trying to settle into my life, but I also want to help them. But Ankita, I can't help them because I haven't settled in myself. So there's this like anxiety, like, Milo, you need to hurry up, just get your shit together. So then eventually you can move on to helping mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like last week. I moved to London last week. I was in London for a couple of days and now I'm in Northampton. And I was just walking down the road and I was just thinking, how did I end up here? I could have been anywhere in the world.
Where? In Northampton?
No, in the UK. London? In the UK, in general.
In the UK.
Like, I'm just walking down, like, how did I end up here? Why am I here? What's going on with my life? Because everything has been so fast-paced. Get a job in the UK, it's quickest, it's easiest. And I got it now. And now I have this time to just breathe a little bit and think, why am I even here? what am I even going to do over here? Why did I not go anywhere else? It's not that I regret it or anything, but you wonder these things, right? Because life is so full of opportunities.
If you had to go somewhere else, where would you go?
I didn't know, Ankita. I am generally quite adventurous, and I love to know about new countries and new cultures. Maybe I would have gone to US. Maybe I would have gone to Malta. Malta is very similar to Gibraltar. It's also a British place, and it has similar mechanics, like political-wise and stuff. Malta would have been an option. But maybe I would have taken a year out and traveled. I don't know. But I made this decision to come to the UK and start working immediately because I was afraid of this motion that it takes time to build yourself as a doctor, to build your career. And I kept thinking, I don't want to waste time. I just need to start working.
Mina, I'm just going to point out that I know you. And I also know that if you hadn't done this right now, if you'd just taken a break and thought about going around traveling for a bit or whatever, you would have been quite miserable.
Really? Why do you think
I feel that? Like you would have... You would have been, because you, if our listeners go back and listen to, I think 3 episodes ago, you were talking about feeling like you were unemployed and unproductive and things like that. You need to be constantly occupied. When you were a student, you were studying. But if you just have free time to travel, that's going to eat up.
When I say travel, I don't mean just pack a backpack and just explore. I would have liked to done some medical work as well. Mm. That could have been an option, like working as a doctor somewhere else or working as a volunteer in a charity or whatever. But I do agree with you. This is my problem, Ankita, that there are times where I'm just like thinking I just need to get on with my life. There's a plan. I need to stick to it. But then also I just think that there are so many other opportunities and so many other possibilities I don't know where I could have been, Ankita, but...
Is this a case of the grass is greener on the other side?
Probably is. But again, I'm just thinking out loud here and I'm just literally vomiting into my microphone because I'm at a stage where I don't even know what I've done in the last 7 days. I've moved country. I've moved from London to Northampton. I don't even know how I got here with a microphone in front of me. So there's a lot of... That's why it's really important to this episode, not just for our listeners, but for my own clarity as well. I think this is really going to help me just clear things up in my fuzzy head.
But the good thing is you went ahead, you did it. You know, you passed out, you searched for a job, you got one of the top options that you had in mind, you interviewed, you got that job, and you made the move. And here you are. And you're going to be traveling to the US soon, but... you're also going to start working as soon as you get back. So here you are. And we've just discussed that the most emotional move for you was when you were about 18.
I still think this has been just as emotional. But for me, mm-hmm. before it was for my parents, I don't think my parents even cared this time. Like my mom just like, I still remember my dad hugged me and he just walked off because he wanted to have a cigarette. And my mom just wanted to go because she just wanted a cup of tea. So she said, okay, I'll see you in America. And I was like, mommy, where are you going? Please wait for me. Yeah. So it was a whole like different, that's what I'm saying. Like 18, it was more emotional for them, but now it's been more for me.
And I totally get that because, and I think our listeners would also relate to this. When you're 18, you're so young, you've never really, this is of course, if you're not a listener who's been born and raised in an environment where you went off to boarding school and you said bye to your parents every summer or whatever. But if you stayed with your parents until you were 18 years old and then you were moving to a new place to pursue your degree or your university, I think that's one of the most emotional moves. And I missed out. There was one extra move that I did in between, which was at the age of 15, my parents sent me to a coaching center where I spent 2 months. I don't even know why. I don't want to go into all that.
I think we spoke about it in season one.
Yes, it's the PC Thomas training center thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God. If any of you remember that episode, just I can't even remember the episode number, but we have discussed this.
I think it was a medicine and engineering one.
Yeah, it was a medicine and engineering, yeah. I think that was the most emotional time of my life because it was the most strict environment that they could have put me in. I couldn't speak to my parents. I couldn't have a mobile phone on me. If I needed to speak to my parents, I had to get one of those scratch cards and I had to speak from a room where someone was observing me. because it was just like jail. And this was the first ever time that I'd stayed away from my parents. And I remember during my lunch breaks, I would come back to my dorm because I didn't have a room. It was a dorm. I would sit on my bed and go through the daily motions in my mind, like everything that happens at home. Okay, so it's 12 o'clock now. This is what my dad is doing. This is what my mom is doing.
I was doing that last week on the flight.
Yeah. I know. I just went through the entire thing that, okay, this is what they're probably having lunch together, which I'm not there with them to experience that. And I would just be miserable thinking about that. Oh, and I would just miss them like crazy. And I was just 15 for the first time. It was horrible.
You know, even just now, I had to go into the supermarket to get some milk to have some breakfast tomorrow. And I looked at the time and I saw that it was like 9:30 in Gibraltar. And I was thinking, oh, mom and dad are probably just like cutting some fruit up, watching the news.
Yeah.
I wish I was there.
Yeah. And you will keep doing that for the rest of your life. Your parents would probably not do that because they're not privy to your daily routine when you're away from them. But you are privy to their daily routine and you know what it looks like. And the thing you mentioned about you being the one emotional about them at a later stage. So the last time I saw my parents was this Jan.
Yep.
Jan 2018, when I was leaving after my dad's surgery and everything. And my dad couldn't really like walk around too much. So I had to say bye to him while he was still in bed. And then I had to leave. And I hear that he was apparently in tears by the time, because he was hearing us, you know, pack up the bags. And Shane's brother was dropping us off at the airport. So my dad could hear us close the doors of the car and everything. But because Shane's brother was there to drop us off really early in the morning, he was staying at my place. So Shane and his brother were sleeping in what used to be my room and now our room. And I was sleeping with my parents. And I remember getting ready in my parents' room, in their bathroom. And they were just kind of napping because it was really early in the morning. Yeah. They were kind of still sleeping. And I remember standing at the door of the bathroom and looking at my parents and genuinely praying that my parents just are safe and happy and not too sad after I leave and their health, you know, is not affected. And I still remember that feeling because it was a genuine prayer. It came from within me I really hope my parents are happy and are healthy and safe in my absence.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of concern you start extending towards your family when you know that, okay, roles are reversing. You're the one taking care of them, kind of.
Yeah, but also, Ankita, I've noticed that when I am in Gibraltar, of course I still care for them. I still wonder if mom is okay, if dad's okay, if they've slept well or eaten well. But it's that kind of worry is so much more intensified when you're away. And when you call them on what, I mean, let's just take a step back, right? We have so much technology that we have it so much easier. I mean, my dad, when he was in Gibraltar, he said that when he first moved, he said that he would write letters. Letters would take 2 months to arrive. So when Akhil was, it was so funny. So Akhil, my brother, when Akhil was born, they found out so much more later.
So your dad's family.
Yeah. So so they're like in their head when Akhil was like 1 year. Or when Akhil was born, for them, Akhil was probably like babbling and almost like moving around. So like, there's like time was so distorted. And you write stuff in a letter, and now my dad says, you know, like there's no excuse for us to have a disconnect. We it's so easy. You know, you can talk to your dad. You can Skype him. You can even if your dad's in the hospital, you can Skype him from there.
Yeah, I was doing that, and I was just thinking the other day I got like. My eyelashes done or something. My eyebrows done or something. And then I came back and I called my parents and I showed it to them. Like, what do you think of my eyebrows?
You did your eyebrows? You never do that.
No, I never used to do that. But now I found an Indian place very close to where I live.
Right. And is it threading?
It's like, yeah, it's a threading. And it's an Indian lady. But then her assistant is Nepalese. And it's a whole thing. It's really cheap. It's like £10. I'm like, yeah.
Really? You know, I did my eyebrows in Fulham last week, so in London. And I paid £14 for eyebrows and upper lip. And I walked down the road. And then I turn around. And then there's another Indian auntie doing eyebrows and upper lip for £8. I'm like, damn it. I just spent double the price. Oh. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Basically, the point is that I did that. I came back and I immediately called my parents. And I'm like, what do you think? Today was my day off. And this is how I used my time. This is what I did. But it's that easy now. But still, you know, you still worry. You never stop worrying. And the emotional side of things, it remains emotional. Every time you have to say goodbye to them, it's just sad.
But then also, you know, as adults now in the 21st century, we have this big dream that one day we'll move away from home and be independent. Mm.
Mm.
So we are kind of, it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because I have a lot of independence at home now. It's not a problem. I can pretty much do whatever I want. It's not. But obviously you have to have that respect that you're under your parents' roof. So you can't just go out clubbing and come back at 4 a.m. I know my parents wouldn't care, but I wouldn't do that. Because it's disrespectful. And I know that they probably wouldn't like that. But they wouldn't say it because they allow me to do what I want. So it's a double-edged sword because now I'm here, I'm independent, I can do whatever I want, but when I'm there, I also want that freak. It's really weird. I don't know.
But can I ask you a question? You've lived with them, you've lived away from them, you've had your own independence, but then you go and you have this great time and you're living with your parents as well. Sure.
Yeah.
And the home that you're returning to was literally all you knew of as home growing up.
Yep.
That is home for you growing up.
Yep.
But then you go and you make a home for yourself in another place.
Yep.
And then when you return to your parents, which is home for you?
I struggle to answer that question a lot because when people ask me, where are you from?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know how to answer that because originally family from India, right? Mm-hmm. I'd love to say I'm from India, but the truth is I've never lived there, so I can't say that. I am from Gibraltar. That's where I'm from. But I've also spent a significant amount of time in Prague. And I feel like the 6 years there, even though it was just 6 years, which is probably a fifth of my life, it was a very significant time. It shaped me. It made me who I am today.
Please don't say that's a fifth of your time, because then you die in 5 years.
No, a fifth of my time so far.
Oh, okay.
No, so far.
Die at 30.
Up to date. And so I've spent a lot of time in Prague, in Gibraltar, now I'm in the UK, so I feel home is where my parents are. So now they're in Gibraltar, I think that's my home. Where my parents are living, that's my home. When my parents move to Switzerland, to China, whatever, I'll say, well, that's where home is. I won't say that's where I'm from, because I'm from Gibraltar, but home for me is where mom and dad are, because to be honest, this what I'm doing right now is it's not my place, I'm renting, all that stuff, but it's not home because mom and dad are not here. I don't have that homely feeling. I can put as many posters as I want. I can put as many photos as I want. But home is when you sit down and you get dal roti on your table and you can sit down.
That's so interesting because when I was a student, I used to be exactly like that. So just full disclaimer, I have literally no attachment to the place that my parents live in, which is a city that they live in, Trivandrum. I moved there when I was 10 years old, never fit in, never made any I don't know. I don't even want to say this because if someone's listening and they feel offended by this, but I feel like I made one long lasting friendship over there, and that was with Priyanka, who's been on our show, and she's still my best friend. You know, she's still someone that I'm constantly in touch with. But she's not there. She's not home.
Yeah.
And my parents are there, and being with them is home, sure. But I've actually said to them that if they were to move out of Trivandrum, then I have no motivation to go back to that city. So that city is not home. Where my parents are is home, sure. But when I was a student, that was exactly how I felt, that no matter which hostel I stay in or which accommodation I get, where my parents are is home. But now that I've made a home for myself here in the UK, this is 100% home for me, more than my parents.
I think I totally understand where you're coming from. I think that when I get married, if I get married, who knows who I get married to. If I get married, when I get married, have kids, whatever, that will be my home too. But right now, my attachment is obviously to mom and dad. And then my attachment will my attachments, my ideas about family will change. Because I don't have my own family. Right now, my family are mom and dad.
I could never imagine this, Mina. When I was a student or when I was single, I could never imagine that any one person could be more important than my parents ever, or that any other place could feel more like home than my parents' home. But now in my mind, my parents' home is actually my parents' home. Even for, like, my parents are very friendly with all of my friends and they would invite them over for lunch and whatever. But even before doing that, I actually ask them for permission. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Can we do this? Can we do, because it is their home and I want to respect that. And at the same time, where I am right now, coming back here, walking into this flat of mine is a breath of fresh air for me because this is home for me.
Well, that's because like, because you've built it to be your home. I never built my place in Prague to be my home because I knew it wasn't permanent.
Yeah, it was a temp.
Even where I am right now, this flat that I moved into like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I find that so funny.
just moved in.
This flat that I moved into 5 minutes ago, unfortunately, this will never be my home because I won't put the effort into this. So I'd like to know from our listeners, actually. I'm sure a lot of our listeners have traveled a lot or moved away. It'd be interesting to know where your home is, because I feel, Ankita, as a British Asian, Gibraltarian Asian, whatever Asian, it's difficult, you know, like to actually figure out what your identity is. Am I Indian? Am I British? Am I European? You don't know. It's a bit of a struggle. That's why...
It's called the diaspora of like people who are from a particular region moving into another region and then having multiple identities, not fully being, say, white and not fully being Desi, and just being somewhere in
between. But the thing is, Ankita, if I'm in India, right, people say, ask me something and I'll say, oh, I'm British. They'll get offended. Then if I'm here in Britain and I say I'm Indian, they'll be like, well, you're British.
Yeah.
So it's like,
technically,
well,
meanwhile, though, you are British.
I am technically because I have a British passport, of course. But
people, in but India, Ankita, they don't understand the difference between ethnicity and nationality.
But deep down in my heart, Ankita, you know I'm Indian. I'm not of course, I'm British because of my passport. But deep down, culturally, in my heart, I am Indian. But if I say that, then people are like, oh, no, you got a British passport. Oh, my God, what are you saying? But it's very difficult to have this identity clarified in my head. So I'm actually going through a lot right now. My identity, my home, what's happening?
But I want to, we're going to go into a bit about sharing some top tips for major life changes, especially like moving from one home to another or moving from one country to another. But before we get to that, one last thing I want to discuss is, Meenal, imagine that you were going to live with your parents for a very extended period of time. So you know that, okay, you're going to be working out of a hospital in Gibraltar, for example, and you know that for the next 2 years, you're going to live with them. What do you think it's going to be like?
I think it'll be difficult.
I feel that way too.
I think it would be difficult. No shade on mom and dad, but
no.
I think that when I, obviously as a married couple, my parents work together and they're married and they understand each other. But I don't think my parents understand me when I'm going through stressful times. And it's not their fault. And it's because they haven't been through my most stressful times in my life. Like when I was in medical school, especially, or anything else. They haven't been there with me. So they don't really know the kind of support I need. Of course, they will give me all the support any parent would. But for example, when I'm very stressed, I just need to be left alone. But I know my mom wouldn't do that. My mom would be like, oh, do you want some tea? Do you want to calm down? Like, she'd be like asking me all the time. And that's great. And I appreciate that. And I respect that. But I don't need that. And I know that working as a doctor, maybe if I had a different job, I don't know. But working as a doctor would mean that coming home late, having late shifts, with such a stressful job, I would need my personal space. And I think that the reason I probably wouldn't have that with mom and dad is because of the architecture of our house. If we had a three-story building, maybe it would be different. But with the current situation where everything is pretty much open, there's not a lot of space, then I would really struggle to live with them. But if I lived in a two-story, three-story house, then definitely I think it would be okay because then I could just go up to my room, do my thing.
Well, I lived in a two-story house while I was working with my parents.
Oh. It's not that great.
I can assure you that whatever you're describing right now would still continue to be a problem because at the end of the day, when when you're going through something, your parents are still like, we have cared for you. We have taken, like, you were our baby. You were our child. You had a boo-boo. We fixed that boo-boo for you. Yeah. Right? And that's where they're coming from. And they're constantly looking out for you.
And we're not disrespecting that. We appreciate it.
No, that's wonderful. Yeah, we're lucky to have that.
Yeah,
but when you're working and you're earning your own money and you're earning your own independence and you want to do some things, I think by then I was starting to think, okay, this is my parents' home. I'm going to ask them permission. I don't want my mom to stay up late to let me into the house. Like, I don't want to be disturbing my parents if I come in a little late. I don't want them to worry where I am, especially in India, if I'm staying out after dark. I don't want them to worry about my transportation. All of that actually starts to play in. So, it's getting along with your parents full time under the same roof is very different from getting along with a spouse or a partner or a roommate or just a friend, you know? It's very different.
It's difficult because you know how our parents say, we spend our whole life caring for you. Why can't you care for us? But it's difficult. Mm-hmm. It's very different, Ankita. These dynamics are very different. If you've got parents taking care of an infant going into adulthood, it's totally different to us taking care of our parents going into old age. It's a very different
dynamic.
I think that this whole guilt trap that parents put on our kids, like, oh, we spent a whole life caring for you, why don't you care for us? It's not like we don't want to care for you. Of course we don't. But life has just changed. And this is what, I had a very interesting conversation with mom the other day, and I told her, I said, you can't expect me to do things that you did. Yeah. And I don't expect you to do things that I would be doing. Yeah. We just live, and that's the thing, it's a generation gap again. Things are so, so different.
Yeah.
So, of course, I mean, my dad, like, he saw his own mother as, like, a goddess. He worshipped her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that my brother doesn't do that to my mom. Of course, he respects her and stuff. But he's not thinking, my mom all the time, right? He's like, well, I have ambitions in my life. And I need to put my energy in that. Mm-hmm. And back then, the idea of marriage was, well, you get married, you have kids, and that's it. Now we're living such a fast paced life where we want to, where we have so much more ambition, so many more dreams that our brain can only take so much. So I think I would be really happy if mom and dad lived down the road. Not a problem for me. Not a problem.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, but it's also, you know, to ask our listeners as well, do you live with your parents? How do you find that dynamic? Do you all get along all the time? Do you feel like as an adult when you're living with your parents, it's actually your parents' home and not your home? So do you ask for permission? Or on the other hand, if you're a parent listening to this, do you wish that your children actually asked for a little more permission? Because at some point you're like, okay, time for you to maybe move out, or time for you to stand on both your own feet. Time for you to stand on your two feet and take care of your own affairs and not take us for granted, because we're done taking care of
you. And I really just want to emphasize this, because I know a lot of people will probably just find problems in this episode. I can see it coming already. But we're not saying that we don't want to take care of our parents.
Oh my God, no.
Yeah, that is not what we're saying. We love our parents. We love mom and we love mommy, daddy. We love them. We're happy with them. It's just that life is very different to what it was 50 years ago. So this whole idea...
Okay, so let's just take that out of the equation about taking care of your parents when they're much, much older. No, we're talking about becoming professionals becoming professionals at the age of, say, 25 to 30, where you're standing on your own two feet and you're moving out of home and that kind of dynamic. That's what we're talking about because that's the transition both of us have gone through.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd like to know what you people think. And it'd be interesting to know if people are living with their parents and want to move out or are struggling to move out. It would be really interesting to know your story, because I haven't lived in India. I mean, Ankita has, so she's probably seen more of it, but I'd really like to know what's happening there.
So to round up this episode, Meenal and I have come up with 5 top tips that we want to share with you when it comes to moving and dealing with major life changes. These are both practical tips as well as some emotional, mental health related tips. So the first tip is to plan backwards from the day and time of your move. So this could be any kind of move. It could be a move to a new country. It could be a move to a new home or a neighborhood. A good way to go about that would be by envisioning the day on which you're moving. Think of all the essentials that you will need for that one day and try to put those things on the list that get packed at the very end. So those are the things that you pack last. And then you move, you know, you plan backwards from then. Okay, do I need movers for this? What time do I have to wake up in order to do the move? So plan backwards from the day as well as the time of your move. That's a good strategy to keep in mind.
Yeah, obviously I didn't do any of that. So I have to like dig somewhere to find my toothbrush now. And I have to find my body soap and don't even know if I even have a towel, Ankita. So thank you for that advice. This is 24 hours late, but thank you. But Ankita, this kind of thing is like such a meal. Like even my mom, if I tell my mom, she'd be like, yeah, I expected that from you. So
yeah.
One tip I would like to give is, so last week, I've been trying to juggle a lot. So Ankita mentioned I'm going to US, and I'm going to US because I'm running a half marathon, which is in about 10 days.
And your brother's getting married.
And I'm running. Yeah, that's more important.
I think that's the more important bit to mention, to be honest, your brother's getting married, so you're going to the US.
No. The reason I mentioned this half marathon is because I'm running this half marathon for our orphans in Kenya. So I'm doing a fundraising campaign for that.
So definitely more important than Akilde.
Yeah. So I haven't been running a lot, and I thought, well, I need to just put my socks up and just run and get some training in. But before I moved from Gibraltar and I came to London, I just had this idea that, oh yeah, it'd be great. Like running in London sounds amazing, right? But I really struggled because moving took a lot of, was very emotionally and mentally taxing. I left and then I had to think of mom and dad, and I think I had to just try to settle in. I was going up and down. I was caught with the flu last week as well. Despite all of this, I still woke up every morning trying to go for a bloody run. And I think that was a really bad idea because I just ended up feeling really tired, really exhausted. I just didn't recover. So one thing I just like to say to anybody who's going to potentially move is that it's okay to put things to the side. It's okay to eat differently. It's okay to sleep when you need to sleep. It's okay to not go on your run or not go to the gym because it's not permanent. It's not like you're changing your lifestyle.
It's okay to press the pause button on your life while you're going through such a major transition.
Basically. Absolutely. And I think that, and even Ankita, you know this, that I will just continue, and I never stop. And when I crash, I bloody crash. And I had this moment last week where my body couldn't take it anymore. So I've just come to the point that I've just realized that this move has been something that I need to really reflect on emotionally. And really, it's time of my life where I need to understand what I want and what I want to do with the next few months, especially, and the kind of career I want to have. And it's okay if I don't go on a 5-kilometer run in the morning, because if that means that mentally I'm much more sane. So if you are going through any major transition in your life, whether you're moving or starting a new job, anything, it's okay to hit a pause button, like Ankita said. I think it will really, really help you.
Cool. And tip number 3 is another practical tip that we have for you.
Ankita, I feel like you should write a BuzzFeed article.
Yeah, I know.
Top 5 tips.
This is a clickbaity listicle. So tip number 3, research the new place that you're moving to. And even if it's just a new neighborhood you're moving to, even if it's close to the old neighborhood you were living in, do a little bit of research to get to know this place that you're moving to, because you need to plan a few things in advance. Like, what are you going to do for food on your first night there? What are you going to do to shop for food? Are there any supermarkets close by? So just a few practical things. What if you're there and suddenly you need to go out and buy some paper towels or something that you thought you would have
the new accommodation? Do I have toilet roll? Need to check if I got to.
God, Mina, I should have made this list earlier for you.
Yeah, why didn't you? This is your fault.
I actually did.
And to be fair, you did. Yeah, I just didn't read our episode notes.
No. So yeah, that's tip number three. Don't be like Minul. Research your neighborhood. Research the place you're moving to so that you know what all little shops you have close by in case you need to go out and buy something for yourself. Or if there's any, food joints that you can get food from. Anything that you need. So just have an idea of what new place you're moving to, whether you need to know the local language in order to be able to purchase something. Just have a little idea about that. Do your research in advance.
Mm. So the next thing I want to say, obviously my tip is a bit deeper than Ankita's, but I think that obviously because I've just literally gone through it. So
mine is more useful. Meenal's is more mushy.
Yours is like so practical and mine is like a fucking counseling session here. But, one thing I'd also wanted to add, in continuation of what I said earlier is that I think that, so I went through a lot of emotions this week and I felt it. And because I had to think about a lot of things, like I had to move, I had to pack, I didn't get a chance to just think about how I feel. And like over the weekend where I had some time, I just like sat down and I just had a little chat with Minul, you know, like, mm-hmm. So Minul, how are you feeling? And it really helps because it's okay to feel those emotions and it's okay to get it out of your system. If you want to cry, cry. If you want to laugh, laugh. If you, whatever. But you just need to feel them and go through them because if you just keep it in the back of your head, it just makes life a lot more difficult. So when you're going through such a big transition, ask yourself how you feel. And if you feel a certain way and you feel like you need help, speak to your closest friends or your family because it makes things a lot easier.
You know, Mina, it's only when you were saying this that I actually remembered something. So in April this year, end of March this year, I moved house.
Mm.
And until then, I was living in 22 Nelson Street, the namesake of my personal blog and the place that Minul's come and stayed in a couple of times. Yep. And it was my first home with Shane. And it was a very, very happy home. And I was moving out. And that was also around the time when I had just started a new job. So there were a lot of things. And I was going on holiday with one of my friends. A lot of things happening at the same time. Packing, holiday, new job, moving, everything. And I was just going, I just made lists and I just, you know, got on with it. All the packing was happening on schedule. The movers were coming in on schedule. The cleaners were coming in. All of that was done. But at the end of it, after the cleaner had finished cleaning the apartment, Shane and I went back there to get the keys and drop it off and everything. And we did a final sweep of the apartment to see if we'd forgotten anything, if everything had been cleaned, etc. And as Shane was taking some trash bags out to throw away, he stepped out of the house and when he came back, he saw me hugging the door and kissing it and crying.
Okay, that's a bit
and
weird.
That was when that was the weirdest thing. But that was when the crash happened for me when it's like, all that time it was all go, 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 get this done. This item is checked off the to-do list. But at that moment when I realized that this was my first ever home, I should just stand back, appreciate the fact that I was so happy here. Thank you so much for this. And this was after we closed the door. We gave the keys away to the property agent. We can't get back in at all.
That's it.
And that was it. I can't get back into that house anymore.
Yeah.
And I was standing there kissing the door and crying. And saying,
I hope the door didn't have any herpes or anything.
I think the door felt a little sexually violated.
Hashtag me too.
Hashtag me too by the door. But it was a bit too much, I think.
Yeah.
And Shane came back and he was like, what just happened?
Yeah.
I literally just stepped out for 2 minutes.
So even today, when I was packing my stuff, I mean, I didn't have an emotional day. I think today I was just generally just tired. But I was packing and my mom says, oh, Minul, my mom called me and she said, Minul, you sound a bit down, you sound a bit low. And I didn't want to tell her what I was going through because I knew she'd get really worried and stuff. But at the same time, Ankita, I don't know how to put it in words. I don't really know what I'm feeling. I don't really know what's really happening right now. Maybe on my flight to LA, I got plenty of time to process this. So
process. And it'll happen when you're not least expecting it. You think you're just getting on with it. You're going all go, go, go. But then at one random moment in time, it'll sink in and you will process it and you will have some more clarity.
Yeah, exactly.
Trust
and that's what I need. And when I do, I'll tell you listeners, because I'm pretty sure you're all very concerned about me.
So finally, the final tip that we have for you in this episode, tip number 5, is to trust yourself. Trust both your research as well as your knowledge. And this is in order to avoid overpacking. So this is a practical tip. Obviously, this is my tip, not Meenal's mushy mushy tip. Basic idea is that I've seen a lot of people who pack, and I've also made this mistake in the past when I was moving into a hostel for the first time.
Ankita, can I just stop a second? I remember I was leaving Edinburgh at 5 a.m. and you put a YouTube video of top 5 tips of packing effectively.
No, it was about the compact packing
that I put on,
just to show you that this could be done. But anyway, I didn't get to my tip yet, which is, in order to avoid overpacking, try to not buy, you know, big bottles of shampoo and conditioner and, I don't know, astringent and face washes. And maybe a face wash if you have a daily facial routine that you don't want to break. But all the other things that you can actually get at the new place you're moving to, try not to carry all of that with you when you're moving from one place to another. Obviously, if you're moving house, then you want to carry as much stuff with you as possible. But Shane, I still remember, he emptied our spice drawer right before the move, and things that were not even expired, he would just be like, I'm not carrying all of this whole black pepper to the new home.
Yeah.
If we need to buy it, we buy it again.
Yeah.
And he was like, donation pile. All of this goes into donation. So yeah, if you're moving into a new place, if you're moving to a new country, try to do your own research and avoid overpacking. If there are things that you can buy there, don't carry them all the way from your country or your old home or your city or whatever. Get it from whichever place you're going to.
Well, let me just correct you there. If your mom packs your rice cooker, take the rice cooker. Because
a rice cooker
is going to save your life.
I'm going to turn 27 in about 2 weeks, and I still don't have a rice cooker.
Man, rice cooker is the best thing. So the other day I unpacked my suitcase and a spoon fell out. Like, why did my mom put a spoon in here? But my mom does these things where I tell her I finished packing and she'll sneak stuff in. Mm-hmm. She sneaked some spoons in for some reason, but okay, fine. Mm-hmm. But she forced me to take a rice cooker. I'm so glad she did, because having a rice cooker is just a life changer. Mm. So if your mom puts a rice cooker, that's fine. That is heavy, but it's worth the extra 2 kilos. But don't, as Ankit said, don't take shampoo and stuff.
Don't take shampoo and stuff that you will get.
Take
and
toilet roll.
And along the lines of things that we don't get over here, my mom packs ready-made food that she freezes.
Yeah.
And then she puts it into our bags. And even on a 13-hour flight, it remains frozen till we get here.
Mm.
Which is very interesting. Science, bitch.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Get that. Bring that with you. If your mom is making food for you and freezing it overnight and putting it in your suitcase before you travel, bring that home with you.
So just to round up, we've spoken about a lot of things, but the main thing is about moving, not Ankita's mom's frozen food. And the main thing is about
delicious, by the way.
I'm sure it is. The main thing is about moving home and going through the motions of it and taking care of yourself, of your mental health and physical health as you go through it, because you're going from a different place to a different place. You're changing, maybe changing passport, maybe changing identity, changing career. There's a lot of things that happen. Identity, we're going to like,
I would like to believe you don't have any criminals listening.
Well, that's not what I mean, but you know what I mean. Like, you're changing career.
To everyone.
You're changing career. There's a lot of things happening. So I would like to know your moving stories, mainly because I just went through it and I don't really know how to deal with it. I don't really know what I'm feeling and how I'm feeling. Maybe it will come to me in a few days. I don't know. But if you guys have had similar experiences, please, please share it with us. And also, you can also donate, because I'm training very hard for this half marathon. As you can see, we're running all around London for this half marathon. We will put a link to the website where you can donate. These are for our 12 orphans in Kenya. We want to send them to school for another year. So every year we have a fundraising campaign. Last year, I ran the Rock of Gibraltar 12 times and we raised about £2,500, and we want to do something very similar this year. So if you guys can help, that would be really amazing. And if you want to follow us, you can follow us at Ankita. You can go ahead and tell them.
Yeah, you can follow us on social media at Desi Outsiders everywhere. And if you want to send us your stories, your comments, your feedback, and any extra tips you would add to the five top tips that we have shared with you, you can send them to mail@desioutsiders.com. So until next week, I'm Ankita.
And I'm Meenal.
And we are the Desi Outsiders.